Hey, it is Ryan Seacrest here. If you love great games and a little extra excitement to your day, I got something fun for you. Chumba Casino and I have teamed up to create an exclusive online social casino game. It's called Ryan Seacrest 10K Ways. It's fun and free to play, just like all your favorites from Chumba Casino. And every spin brings 10,000 ways to keep the good times going. Check it out and play for free today at ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See T's and C's. 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
Hello and welcome back to another episode of How Very Hannah. This is, if you're new here, a very stagey podcast, a How Very stagey podcast, where we chat all things musical theatre and just general silly, goofy vibes. And I have an opening sequence that we wrote ourselves, and you're gonna listen to it in 3, 2, 1. Roll the titles.
Time there was a stagey girl with a big dream. She hoped, dreamed, and prayed to work at Tesco. Wait, someone's written this script wrong. Can we get a redo?
Take two.
I dreamed a dream that one day I would hit the stage, and so it seems that dream has come true.
Whoa, whoa.
Oh my god, you guys, it's really happening. My life has been changed for the better, and I'm seizing the day and spinning into the spotlight. How very slay, it's giving queen. How very
cringe,
get out my scene. It's beginner's call, the stage is set for me. How very Hannah.
How very Hannah.
How very Hannah, that's the name from a podcast show and your front row. So how very Hannah,
hit the lights.
How very Hannah,
that's too bright.
How very Hannah,
that's all right.
Okay, it's my podcast show. Let's go.
Today is a really fun episode. I sit down and chat with my lovely, lovely friend, Caitlin Tipping, who I did Six the Musical with. She is about to star as Sharpay Evans in High School Musical. I cannot tell you how excited I am for this show. I think I saw High School Musical, the musical, in Hammersmith back like years and years ago. But I'm excited for this new production, and me and Caitlin get into it. We talk about Six. We talk about playing and covering Celine Dion. She gives me a couple of tips. You can tell they worked. Duh, great impression. We talk about feeling the fear and doing it anyway. Rejection is redirection. Before the episode starts, make sure to subscribe or follow us wherever you get your podcasts. Are you watching or listening to this? Let me know. I find it interesting because I'm a visual watcher, obviously. But let me know in the comments. And you can vote for us for our first award, guys. I really want this podcast to win the Be Creator. I'm going to say it. I want us to win. I feel like the whole team worked really, really hard, not just me. Even though it's my name on that. It's my name riding lights up there on the marquee. Name the song. 3, 2, 1. I'm a star, a star. Wow, she's a singer. Anyway, what was I saying? My brain's all over the place today. Shall we? Oh, Be Creator Awards. We are nominated for Podcast of the Year at the Be Creator Awards, and there is a link down below to vote. So make sure you vote for us, or if there's another podcast on the list that you prefer, then I guess you can vote for them, but please don't. Okay, I'm joking. Is that savage? That's too savage. I've been told it's too savage, okay? Cut that, Ella. Joking, leave it in. Enjoy the episode. Please welcome to the pod, Caitlin Tipping!
Actually, do you know, I always feel like that's not even it, because we watched it and they're like, and then they go, and that's literally it.
What?
In the first
one.
Yeah, but I think that's in the second film.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh. Hey, Siri.
Hello. but yeah.
Oh, even my Siri just started. I thought it was.
I think that's like later in this.
We've taken it and ran with it.
Yeah. But yeah.
So for context, I mean, I'm sure you all know, but Caitlin is about to play the iconic Sharpay Evans in High School Musical. Did you grow up with High School Musical? Surely.
Yes. Oh my gosh.
Oh, sorry, you'd have to say.
I will be 29 this year.
We're the same age.
Yeah.
So it's fine.
It's fine. But also, I have been telling everyone I'm 25 for the last like 5 years.
Oh, okay.
But I did say to my dad that this year I'm happy to go to 26.
Okay, fine.
So I'll get a 26th birthday card this year. Genuinely.
Really?
Yeah, my gran even sends me stuff like, happy 25th birthday again. And I'm like, she knows.
She's got it on lock.
Yeah, but, you know, exclusive, I am 29.
But we grew up with High School Musical. Like, yes. That was our era.
But also, I was reminded the other day, because the show's coming up, so many people have asked, like, when did you first watch the film, blah, blah. And because it was only made for Disney Channel, it wasn't, like, released at the cinemas. Yeah. And I was like, when did I first see it? I can't even remember. And I think for me, it was, like, a Christmas special that they were, like, showing the film at Christmas to, like, allow BBC. People to watch. Yeah, on, like, BBC or something.
Oh,
and I was
God.
Like, yes, because I wasn't even a Disney kid. Like, I didn't have Disney Channel.
Oh,
so I would have to go to my auntie's to, like, watch on Sky.
Oh, gosh.
But, yeah, I think we, like, recorded it on BBC, whatever channel it was on. And then I feel like High School Musical 2 was when I was like,
that was like fully,
yeah.
I had a High School Musical 2 watch party.
I had poster what,
yeah, at my house. I had a High School Musical 2 watch party.
No way.
Yeah, like the second it came out. And then the third one was at the cinema.
Yeah.
And that was a big deal.
Yeah, because we were a bit older then, and yeah. It was like, we're still like into it, but we're like a bit older.
But like the third one, I wouldn't know the lyrics to the songs in
that.
And I am embarrassed about that.
But like visually, that one was quite iconic.
Yeah,
because they were all like, yeah,
for the night of nights.
And you know my favorite bit when they're like in the Fosse bit. And
oh my God!
And Sharpie's got like the yeah, and she's got like a little bob, and she's like,
yeah,
I want it, yeah. That's iconic.
Oh my God. Yeah, that is iconic memory. But it is Sharpay with all the iconic moments, let's be real.
Oh, yeah.
Like, Soz. Growing up, were you like, I'm Gabriella? Or were you like, I'm Sharpay?
No, because literally that. I feel like I thought I was like, Gabriella, just like, because I'm naturally brunette. You know when you just like associate yourself? I was like, just like really coy, like cutesy
so
girly.
Shy.
But it's actually just not true at all. Yeah. I probably was always Sharpay, deep down.
So it's very exciting. You are going to be opening in Manchester when? This summer.
Yeah, this summer.
This summer.
It's like mid-August.
Okay,
the
cool.
The day, I'm not entirely sure.
When?
But
come on. Okay, we can put that information in the show notes. But Manchester, and then also, I feel like it keeps getting extended. It's not even started yet, and we've got extensions. We've got London Run.
Yeah.
We've got, I was going to say Jason Bateman then.
What?
Who's that?
That's a twist.
Is he an actor?
Yeah.
Oh, cool. Not him. Jason Donovan.
Yeah.
Harry Judd. Like Casey. Pop and Lock and Jam and Break.
Yeah.
Like
OG,
Martha. Like cast stacked.
Yeah.
And of course, you and your very good friend.
Yeah.
But how are you going to do that?
I don't know. I'm actually just so thrilled that this is like happening because
doing another show with like your best friend.
And I think we got so close on Titanic. And I think it was so natural. The job offer came like later into our friendship. Mm. So by the time that we got it, we were like, no way, this is like, it just doesn't happen very often that you end up working with someone that you're so close to. And he is like the perfect Ryan. So
oh my God. I mean, you both are so perfect for those roles.
Thanks. I think it'll be, yeah, just jokes the whole time.
Yeah. Like, how are you going to take each other seriously?
Do you know what's kind of funny? Because we've been doing like little bits for like West End Live and like little rehearsal bits. We are kind of like very much our characters. And in like, I'm not, you know, shading him or anything, but in rehearsals, I'll be like, no, look, like, we have to do it like this. And he's like, yes, yeah, no, you're right. And it's like, we're slowly just like morphing into it.
Shopping, right?
But I love him. And so.
And you kind of have like that brother sister.
Yeah. Vibe. And you know what looks like? He's just like, I'm up for anything.
Yeah,
and I'm like, no, we have to do this perfect. It has to be great.
Yeah.
But yeah, it'll be fun. But it's so funny when you say like Jason Donovan, my whole family are so much more gassed about Jason Donovan than they are about me being in it. my sister-in-law, she was like, do you think there's a chance we can meet him? Like after, I was like, I'll see what I can do.
Yeah. Backstage tour.
Yeah, like maybe.
Jason Donovan included.
Know. Yeah. It's not like a given. It's not like in the ticket.
Yeah. I feel like they've done a good job there at hitting all the different
demographics
and age ranges because you've got like iconic like musical theatre performers. You've got Queens from
Toby
Six. Turley. You've got Toby. You've got, you know, like you've got like iconic musical theatre performers and also like really like stacked ensemble cast as well. Like everyone is so incredible.
Yeah.
And also you've got like your McFly. You've got Harry Judd. You've got your McFly era rock and roll.
I also loved McFly.
Yeah, same.
Like they were kind of ever, well, I don't know if you liked them, but
no,
I was
I
like into it.
I was more McFly than Busted for sure.
I
no offense, Matt Willis, if you're watching. and everyone else.
I definitely fancied them a bit.
Who else was in Busted?
Like, other than Matt Willis? I don't know. Oh, wait. The guy with the blonde hair.
With the long hair.
Yeah, I was a bit like, ooh, cute. Bad boy. Do you know? Like, yeah, when no, you're young, it's like...
You've got like OG, Martha, and then Jason Donovan.
Yeah.
For the oldies. No, yeah.
Well, still. Well,
yeah. I'm going to get myself cancelled.
They were heartthrobs.
They were, and they Neighbors. Still are.
But yeah, I am buzzing to get involved
it's
with everyone.
It's very, very exciting. So take me back. We just spoke a little bit about Titanic.
Mm.
You covered every role in Titanic. Like, come on.
Yeah, every female presenting role. In fact, and no, because I guess like Ruth well. Was not, yeah. All the girls I covered.
Yeah.
But no, so I was off stage.
Ah.
But like, where was off stage? Because I was always on.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was technically an off stage swing. Me and Freddie were both like the boy girl of each other.
That's
yeah.
amazing. So like, talk to me about how you found your Celine. Because if someone asked me to do an impression of anyone, especially Celine Dion.
Celine.
Come on,
no,
do
that
it.
Was not it. Bonjour, it is me, Celine Dion. And guess what? I am here because this is not how I remember the story of Titanic.
Like, how? Do they teach you how? Do you have to do that in your first audition?
Well, so my first audition was for Rose.
Right. Okay, yeah, yeah.
It was a self-tape, so I just sent over... one song, one scene of the Rose stuff. And then it was such a quick turnaround and they emailed back being like, can you learn the Celine stuff? We want to see you for that. Because at the time it was when Lauren Drew was in the role mm-hmm. and we did Six Tour together.
Wow.
So it was actually Drew that kind of like sorted me out accent-wise.
Oh, that's good.
I messaged her like, you need to voice note every single word of this script and help me find this accent. She was like, I don't know what I'm doing. And then we both, yeah, like she helped me, I guess, like start with how to find it. But
do you know why she did that?
Why?
Because Queens
stick together.
What's the phrase? That wasn't
I
it.
I don't know. What is
Queens
the Queens?
Lift each other's crowns or something.
Babe, well
what
done.
Was the phrase they taught us?
Fix each other's crowns.
Real queens fix each other's crowns.
And she fixed my crown.
She did.
Yeah.
It's the iconic hand position.
Remember they used to give we you like a boot camp on how to
whole day learning how to
this
do this.
This finger has to like sit on your right. brow. And
yeah. And like the fingers specific. Have to be evenly spaced. Like yeah. you've got carpal tunnel by the end of the day.
Split. They can't be like crooked.
No, not that. Never that. Ugh.
I would fix your crown.
Would you fix my crown?
Yeah.
Come on then, teach me how to do Celine Dion. Pass
okay,
it on.
Okay. So you have to just, it's like a, I did used to struggle by going like slightly Russian at some time. So like be aware of that, yeah.
Okay.
But it's like an American French blend. So like bonjour.
Bonjour.
That's the very French part. Bonjour, it is me, Celine Dion.
It is me, Celine Dion.
Yeah, that was good. But the Dion rather than like Dion, it's like more of the American.
It is me, Celine Dion.
Celine Dion.
Celine Dion. No syllables.
Yeah.
Celine Dion.
All just silent. Is it?
Celine Dion. It's me.
Celine Dion. Ringo. Yeah. So it was actually Drew that like
okay, cool.
fixed me at the beginning.
Do you know who does a good Celine Dion impression? Jacob Fowler.
Really?
Really good.
Go on.
He did it at my live show and it was hilarious.
What? Just sung the songs or just impression?
No. It was a game and his character was Celine Dion.
Well done.
But it was like specifically Celine Dion in Titanic.
Yeah. But I feel like her whole in Titanic.
Yeah.
What, and did what?
Well, I don't know. Just like that comedy. Like,
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Shall we go for it? Is that right?
That was sick.
Say it louder.
Test change. Would you ever play Celine Dion?
I'd try. Maybe like, every
night. But it's a comedy and you're funny. Funny girly.
It's a comedy, so you don't have to be good.
You don't have to be good vocalist. I'm joking. You actually do because they will shade you.
Yeah, they will. So did you have a great time doing Titanic with so many friends? I just feel like it looks so fun. But also, the improv in that show is next level.
That's the one part, because I'm like an anxious girly, mm-hmm. like just performer anyway.
I'm just a girl.
Just an anxious girl. And usually I'll like really overthink roles. But the only thing that I overthought or like would be like literally lying in bed at night thinking about was the improv.
Really?
The vocals, I was like, do you know what? Putting on the accent actually makes the vocals so much easier.
Really?
Like actually impersonating her sound and like her... vowels and how she sings it makes the vocals easier. So that bit I was like, okay, I can kind of get by on that. It was the improv that I would be like, I could maybe say that, and then she could say that, and then maybe he could dance, and then maybe, and it would literally be spiraling through my head.
And like, do you have to come up with it yourself?
Yeah.
See, that is so hard. Yeah. You should be getting an extra fee for that.
I mean, they kind of
if we're
encourage
speaking logistically.
You, right? They encourage you to have like a bank of maybe like five, and then you can kind of modify and add bits in and play around with them. But yeah, when I was first rehearsing, I was kind of rehearsing in as Celine for our cast change. Mm. And Ty, the writer, was literally just like, go, on you go. And I was like,
say what you want.
What's funny? And they would give some kind of prompts in the back of the script, spoiler, and they'd be like, this is kind of what they've done before, or like ideas. But they were all very American versions. And American humor sometimes just doesn't translate here. Mm-hmm. So you really had to make it for a British audience.
And also pop culture-y.
Yeah.
Because I remember when I went to see it, I can't remember exactly what moment it was, but there was definitely moments where they like pitched into things that had happened that week.
Yeah, and
like,
that's
in
the fun
pop
part.
And that is like hilarious because everyone's like, oh my God, like that, how is that in the script already? Yeah. And then you realise that it's not in the script and they are actually making it up
genuinely,
on the spot.
Genuinely. We would be in the wings like, should I say that? Should I try it? Should so I try it tonight? Good. We'd be like, go do it, try it. Like, for example, Damien was one of our covers and he went on for Ruth towards the end of our contract there, and we were trying to get him to add, like, you know, the Princess Diana interview. Like, we were trying to get him to add bits like that, and he was like, I don't know, should I try? And we'd be in the wings like, it was great, it was so good. So we as the cast are literally almost making the show as it's happening.
Yeah, and it keeps it so fun and fresh, I imagine.
That bit's fun,
and stressful
and terrifying. Because what if they don't laugh? Like, what if you try something new?
Did that ever happen?
I think there's a few times where you can tell in that scene, like, if they're not quite on board and when to just, like, scrap something.
Right.
When to just, like, drop it. Mm-hmm. I think that maybe happened, like, once or twice. I'd be like, okay, never mind. In fact, no, once I had an improv. I was Celine and Luke was on for Jack and I was making a joke about him not being a good dancer because he trained at Mount View. Saws Mount View. That is not true, but it was, you know, just...
It was just bants. Yeah.
Banter, but... It was very quickly obvious that the audience didn't know what Mount View was. So I was anyway, move.
Yeah. But so, like, if that was like an audience full of really stagey people,
they'd be like, hello. Yeah. So yeah, that's the props.
So where did you train?
I trained at a teeny tiny little drama school in Edinburgh. It actually doesn't even exist anymore.
Oh.
But it was called the MGA Academy of Performing Arts.
Oh.
And it literally was grown out of an old pub in Edinburgh. They like renovated this pub into 2 dance studios and a couple of little singing studios.
And then how long was your course?
3 years, but at the time it wasn't even a degree course, so I have no qualifications.
I think I've got a BTEC.
I have like the Scottish equivalent, which is like a HND, I think.
Right.
But it was literally just like it started off as like classes, little Saturday classes, and they managed to put together like a course.
Full course.
But the people that were on it at the time when I was, you know, like aspiring and looking up to these like girls and that were training in musical theatre, they had some really, really great performers that have gone on and like done amazing things. And yeah, it kind of just
So did that lead to you getting an agent? Like, what led to your first professional job after your training?
Yeah, so I was really, really lucky in the tutors we had at MG at that time. I think it was just like all round really great teaching staff, and we were like in such a bubble in Edinburgh. I had never heard of Arts Ed or like Lane or any of these other schools. It was only through those teachers that they kind of like opened our eyes to this whole other world that it almost felt like unattainable. We were just like doing it for fun.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Like, I was just like at college because I liked to sing. I didn't really think it was going to happen.
An option, yeah.
Yeah, and so it would be our tutors that would be like, you know, you're going to be going up against the best schools in the country, and if you want to stand a chance, you have to do this and this and this. And so, yeah, I like had never heard of Arts Ed or all the hundreds of like incredibly talented people that were down here. But yeah, this one tutor, his name is Chris Harding. He's still an actor. He's in Blood Brothers at the minute, I think, as the narrator. He was our like head of musical theatre, and he was with Olivia Bell at the time, which is my agent. And he just put in a good word and was like, you need to come up and see this girl. And you know what's so funny?
What?
They came up to my 3rd year show where I was playing Elle.
Oh my God! Yeah. Caitlin Tipping Elle.
third year.
I want to see a video of that. I don't even surely know. You've got one somewhere.
I've got maybe pictures, but no, I don't think a video. And they came up and watched me as Elle.
Oh my God.
Yeah. And it was not like a big deal, but for me anyway, like having someone come all the way up from London, this like huge successful agency, to come to like the Churchill Theatre in Morningside, which is like barely even 300 seats. Wow. It's like nothing, to watch me do Legally Blonde was like a dream, yeah.
Do you think that's the most nervous you've ever been for that?
Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. The rush of racing? Nothing beats it. But Chumba Casino comes close. Chumba's got fast spins, fun games, daily bonuses, and all the action you can handle. Now that's a ride. Ready to hit the throttle? Get in the driver's seat and head to ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Do you know what? I don't even think I really clocked like the weight of what was. I think I was still just like in Delulu, like third year land. Do you know when like everything there feels so important that like the bigger picture isn't really in the like landscape yet? I think I was just like, oh, okay. Like, it should be cool. And I remember like meeting Ellie, who's, oh no, it was Harriet, one of my agents from the team, in Starbucks, like across the road. And when I think back now, like that is a child. Like that was just like this little girl who had no idea what she was doing. But yeah, I signed with them pretty much. I think they like put me through the rounds a little bit. They like had that, and then they had another meeting with me, and then they like brought me down to the London offices, and there was a few like, do we want to like try on
take
this girl?
Yeah,
because it was just this tiny little school from nowhere, and I've been with them ever since.
Yeah, and you've been like working.
Yeah, it's really.
What was your first big job after obviously Elwood and Legally Blonde?
Well, yeah. No, my first couple of jobs were quite small. The first thing I was ever paid to do was the last 5 years in Edinburgh Fringe, and I got £400 for the whole month.
Big sigh.
Yeah. But I was gassed.
Yeah.
Like, I thought, I'm being paid to do this?
I'm being paid less than £20 a day.
Little pennies. And I was buzzing.
Yeah, but that's also where you know you have so much love for what you do.
Yeah.
I don't agree that maybe people should take the mick out of that and pay people, like, not a working wage. But I guess for Fringe especially, like, that does happen a lot.
And for me, it made loads of sense. I had just graduated in Edinburgh. I'm from Edinburgh. I wasn't paying accommodation. I was
just
home with my family and was able to invite everyone to
all
come
your
and
friends.
Yeah, like,
and I've never even been to Fringe.
Hannah.
I know. Wait, when is it? Is it in June?
August.
August?
Yeah.
I'm off in August.
Yeah, so you have to.
But don't you have to put your accommodation, like, really far in advance?
My dad will put you up.
Genuinely, yes, Dad, really?
My friend Isabella, she's on the Priscilla tour. She stayed with my dad for digs.
Okay, I'm going to hold you to that.
No, for
you
real.
You said it on the podcast now.
For real.
So.
Rich will sort you out.
Thanks, Rich. Oh my gosh. I'd love
to go
real.
To Fringe. I like encourage everyone to go to Fringe. It's where I first watched Six.
Oh my gosh.
In the tent.
You watched Six in the tent at Fringe.
That was the year that I was doing Last 5 years, was the year that Six opened. And the voice on the track of Par, Izuka Hoyle.
Yeah,
she went to MGA. And so a lot of buzz in our school was like, oh my God, she's in this thing. Like, she did the recording. People like, we should go see it. It sounds really cool. And me and my like two best friends went and watched, and literally every 2 seconds we were like, oh my God. Literally like mind blown at this show that had never existed until then.
But what I would give to go and watch Six in a tent at Edinburgh Fringe.
It was
go
unreal.
Back to that.
It was,
oh my God,
literally so good. And it wasn't like miles away from what it is. Mm-hmm. Like, it was giving the same vibe. It was just in a tent in a really shallow little stage.
And to think how much the show has grown since then, though, like, just it's worldwide. It's like a worldwide phenomenon.
Yeah.
And do you feel, so for context, if you don't know, Caitlin and I did Six together at the Vaudeville. How long ago? Year and a half ago. We did it together for how
like
long?
6 months.
6 months.
Yeah.
And
it's just a little standing.
How nice is it that, like, we've been part of that?
Yeah.
I mean, you've been part of it for longer because you did the tour first.
Yeah, and I did the cruise.
Oh my gosh. So when you did the cruise and then you did the tour, did you have to re-audition for the tour? No. Okay, no. That's cool.
Yeah, it was really nice. I started my sixth journey mm-hmm. in 2019.
Wow.
I was 21 at the time.
So you played Jane Seymour on the cruise?
Yeah.
And then you got cast in the tour.
Yeah.
And then you came to town and yeah. took over Jane Seymour. Tick. Oh my gosh, done it. She's done yeah. it all.
It was nice to like finish mm-hmm. all the things. Because you know when you're in it, you like always just want to do the like the mm-hmm. next thing. Because when yeah. I was on the ship, I was like, God, I would love to do it in the UK. Like just because yeah. none of my family could watch, none of my friends could watch. So when it kind of came through and then when they'd asked me to step in with your cast, I was like, I kind of have to, like, it would be good, yeah.
I feel like six as a chapter hasn't closed yet for me. I don't know why. I've just got this, like...
But even I feel like that, and I've done it all, because you just never genuinely never leave.
No, I just feel like when I left six, I just feel like I wasn't leaving six. But maybe that's just because, like, you're always going to be part of the queendom.
No, but for real, like, you will get a call one day something.
I would love to go back to six one day.
Really?
Really. Like, do you know what my dream would be?
Yeah.
Hi, Hannah. We need a Catherine Howard on Broadway for 2 months.
Do you know, that's not even out of reach. I feel like... I'm sorry, but I just don't think that that's, like, crazy to say.
I would cry, obviously.
You're going to clip this video when it happens.
And we're going to tag six on Broadway.
No, I mean, when it happens, you're going to be like, remember when I
yes,
said that?
Yes, we are.
You will.
I was emotional when the job ended, but I just felt like... I was emotional to say goodbye to the people, not the show, because I felt like I wasn't saying goodbye to the show.
Yeah.
And I don't know. That's weird because I don't feel like I didn't feel that with SpongeBob or I did feel it with Heathers.
I feel like with the show of six, though, it's like the limit does not exist. Like there's so much for it. Do you know what I mean? And I feel like it could still expand to something else. Mm-hmm. It's just so widely loved that you don't even know what the opportunity could be. Like it could be something crazy.
What could it be? What's the craziest thing
a
you
movie?
Can think of?
I don't know. Like,
have you ever done a movie?
Well, another one.
The live action movie where we're actually dressed like Anne Boleyn and Jane Seymour.
In the castle. No, I'm joking. I don't know. I remember way, way back, this is like probably not even true, but in my memory, when we were on the ship, Toby came on to watch and just kind of check in and how we were all doing. And they'd said that there was once a world where they were trying to star cast, like a filmed version, like star cast.
And well, as in like all the people who the characters are based
yes.
on.
Yes. And I don't know how true that was or whether that was just us all like just yapping. Yeah. But Toby said that they had reached out to like some big, big, like I'm sure they said like Lizzo, like genuinely trying to just get a feeler of whether anyone would do it.
Megan Thee Stallion was in Moulin Rouge.
And that so looked like, unreal.
I mean, Megan Thee Stallion for Cleves?
Absolutely.
I can so see that.
Most definitely. I'm sure it was like, maybe even Lily Allen. I swear, like, it was something
Boleyn.
Like that. Yeah. And we were all literally like dying.
Who would Jessie J
that
play?
That would be. Jessie J is...
Pa.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no. Is that Alicia Keys?
Oh, it is Alicia Keys. But
I'm sure...
If Jessie J was in it, I feel like her voice is more suited
or
to
or even part. Arrogant. I feel like she would
oh,
be...
Oh, my God. I got a battle like an hourglass. Is that Jessie J? Was that... Yeah.
Yeah, in Bang Bang.
Or is that the Ariana Grande
in
part?
Bang Bang with Nicki Minaj and Ariana Grande.
Because she would obviously be Kay Howard.
Yeah.
The OG pink ponytail.
It's just like, would Ariana say yes to that? I just don't know.
She's a Broadway girl.
Yeah. Sunday in the Park.
Sunday in the Park was six. Have you got tickets to that?
No.
Oh,
do you?
No. Who's have you, Ella?
No, it's not on sale yet.
Oh, that'll be why.
Well,
it's not on sale yet.
Still a chance.
Yeah, but I feel like there's been like a pre-sale entry or something where you have to sign up for it. Do you ever do that with tickets? Sign up with theatre tickets? I don't either.
No,
but I really should because I'm like, oh, I'm glad I missed that.
I am
that.
A bit rubbish at like watching musicals.
Same. I've got a big old list of shows I really need to
really?
See.
What's on it?
Luke in Titanic. Two ladies
right.
already left. I've actually, do you want me to tell you
Caitlin
what I've got on my
list? Caitlin in Titanic.
Yeah. I've seen you.
Right.
Oh, no, I haven't. I saw it before you left. No, before you started.
Yeah.
Right. Okay,
good
wait.
Start.
Great start, Hannah. Shows to watch. The Unlikely Pilgrimage of Harold Fry. Closed.
Finished.
Into the Woods. Closed.
Finished.
Paddington.
Good. Still cool.
Kinky Boots. I must see Moulin Rouge. I've never seen that.
Same.
I've not even watched the film. Oliver! Exclamation point.
Oh, yeah. See, I'm rubbish. I haven't seen it either.
Avenue Q?
No.
Hunger Games.
No, but I want to.
Yeah.
I would love to be in that.
You'd be good in that. Pale. Katniss.
Yeah.
Catnip. Who would I be? I'd be the...
Rue.
Rue? No. I'd be Effie
Oh,
Drinker.
Yes. You'd be... Yeah.
The little witchy one.
I'd love to be her, though. She's cool.
Yeah, she's cool. Titanic, Luke and Caitlin. Beetlejuice.
No.
Seen that?
No.
Waitress. I've seen it, but like I want to see this version of it.
Yeah, Delphi.
Starlight Express, closed. Cats at Regent's Park.
I do want to see
Not open
that.
Yet, not but it's yet. On the list. Hunger Games is on there again. I don't know why. Les Mis, because I've got lots of friends in it who are about to finish in it and I'm not going to have time to see
Danielle
them.
And I didn't.
And then I've also got Titanic on there twice. And there's probably more to add to it.
Yeah.
But it's hard when you're in a show.
I know.
It's hard to go and watch theatre.
And then when you're out of a show, you want to make the most of your evenings doing the things that you weren't doing at
go
a theatre.
For dinner.
Yeah.
Okay, so talk me through. When you are out of a show,
yes.
What's your like dream Saturday?
Every day is a Saturday when you're out of a show. It is.
So true.
Like today's, I don't even know. I don't even know what
today's
is because it could be Saturday. That's the point. I mean, I'm so boring. Like I will spend as much time as I can with my dog. Because when you're in theatre, it's like you're constantly trying to make sure dog's okay because you're going to be double show or you're not going to get home till late or you need to leave early. And so I try to like reassure him I am a good mum. Let me take you for a nice walk. Yeah. And like go for a run and meet friends, go for a coffee.
Coffee and a pastry.
Coffee and a pastry. Ooh. Like so simple,
an
but
afternoon
so...
coffee and a pastry.
Yes. Like by the canal, sun is out. And then it just like spills over into like, I don't know, maybe you do like a little activity and then you're just like, oh, should we get some dinner? Just a day that's like so chill. Free and just do what you like.
What I specifically used to find weird with Six is our stage door, there was quite a lot of like pubs that like backed onto the stage door. I remember one, I can't remember what it's called, but it always had people in the pub garden. On Friday night, it was popping, right?
I know what one you mean, with the bit.
The big bit, yeah. And it would get to 6 o'clock, our call time, and I'd be like walking up that street, 6 o'clock, everyone's just left their office to go for their drinks after. We're not even half, by Friday, we're not even halfway through our week. Because we've still got five shows left for the week. We've got one Friday, two Saturday and two Sunday. And I would just see all these people like, oh, have a great weekend, everyone. Yeah. See you on Monday. And I'd be like, oh my God, I'm not even halfway there.
That's the bit that kills me when you work in theatre. When people are like, hope you're enjoying your weekend. I'm like,
what?
I'm on double show.
Like, what is that?
I don't think you quite know who you're talking to. But every single job I've done since... Six tour has been that schedule.
As in Monday off?
Monday off, double Saturday, double Sunday.
That's not for the week.
Who's making these decisions?
Not us.
It's not fun.
That is a bonus about tour. I don't know if it was the same when you toured with Six, that we have 2 days off a week. No? Wrong.
So when we toured, it was right on the back of COVID. Right. And so every single possible day free... They tried to put in a show to like make up for so many cancelled shows, tickets that were lost and da-da. So we did that contract going in knowing that we would have no holiday allowed and no day off. And most of the time our day would be like to travel to the next venue.
Yeah.
So it's hardcore.
God, that is really hardcore. Yeah. Especially when you're belting out those songs. Yeah. Especially in the summer.
Yeah. And no aircon.
No aircon. Who invented that?
Yeah.
Hold on a second. I hope you're enjoying the episode so far. But Hannah from the future, or the past, I don't know, either way, is just joining you to tell you to please subscribe or follow whether you're watching or listening. It really helps us out. And we want to keep creating this podcast and bringing you so much musical theatre love and joy. And that's all I have to say. Back to the episode. Confessions of a Drama Queen. Okay. So this is the segment where we have a little listener confession and we're just going to give them... some big sister advice or little sister advice.
Try my best.
Because we're only 25.
Yeah.
Hey, Hannah. I am stuck in a bit of a pickle. I live in Australia and the musical theatre industry is a lot smaller, making it harder to pursue a career in the industry. That's why I am studying teaching. I graduated high school last year and really enjoyed... Should I do this in an Australian accent?
Absolutely.
I graduated high school last year and really enjoyed doing the school productions. This reminds me of Faith from DCC.
Yeah.
Even though she's from New Zealand, but she... Yeah. Anyway. Like musicals... Wait, what did I say? I graduated high school last year and really enjoyed doing the school productions. This is so bad. Like, musicals are one of the biggest aspects of my life. Aww. However, I was one of the few people who could dance well.
Mm-hmm. Slay.
Period. So I was always cast as a featured dancer, which I absolutely loved.
Yes.
But when I auditioned and got called back for lead roles, it never happened. It never happened.
Never.
Oh, this is tragic. I feel like deep down I do have the talent to keep doing theatre outside of school, but all the rejection makes me worried I'm not talented enough. Oh. So how do you deal with rejection? Let me start that bit again. How do you deal with rejection? That's American. How do you deal with rejection and overcome these feelings? Thank you. They've put their name, but I'm not going to say it in case you want it to be hidden. But I see you. Okay, what was the question? I was too busy thinking about the Australian accent.
Step into the world of power, loyalty, and luck.
I'm going to make him an offer he can't refuse.
With family, cannolis, and spins mean everything.
Now, you want to get mixed up in the family business.
Introducing The Godfather at ChumbaCasino.com. Test your luck in the shadowy world of The Godfather slot.
Someday, I will call upon you to do a service for me.
Play The Godfather now at ChumbaCasino.com.
Welcome to the family.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus terms and conditions apply.
So what it sounds like, I really apologize for the accent because that was so bad. But if you go back to the very first episode of the podcast, my Australian accent is actually good. Right?
Yeah.
Right? They're like, next question. So what it sounds like is you're kind of holding back. You're too scared to fully go for it. Mm. And it feels like because the industry over there is small, you're pursuing teaching. To me, it feels like maybe, I mean, I don't know you, but it feels like the teaching, maybe your heart's not fully in. And I do think a lot of musical theatre performers do teach on the side. Yeah. I used to teach a lot, Italia Conti Nubri Represent, on a Saturday. I can't say it was my favourite thing. Like some people are really good at it and love it. I personally don't love it.
Yeah. It's definitely like a filler for a lot of performers. Yeah. And it makes money and it can be like really stable.
Mm.
Which can be the bonus of it. But I guess a lot of us are always like yearning to be the performer again.
Yeah. So that's why teaching can be hard. But then it can be also really rewarding.
Yeah.
Because you're like passing on that knowledge to other people and you're seeing them like succeed.
I get really passionate about it, especially if I see someone that, I don't know, like I see myself in or I can see so much potential in.
Yeah.
I'll like lock in and I'll be like, you have to
be
like,
better.
Yeah, I'll be like pushy, giving it like, do this, go home. You have to look at this when you get back or
like you
practice.
And Luke Bayer, like teaching the dance.
Like, please learn the dance. No, but yeah, I definitely can get very into it.
And it sounds like you are really talented, especially you said you can dance well, so you being cast as featured dancer, and maybe the leading roles aren't happening for you right now, but I don't think that's a bad thing.
No.
I think sometimes, like, from one of the like things I'm most grateful for in my career is that I've started where I did, and like I covered, and I've been in the ensemble, and I've swung, and I've like done all of that to then hopefully lead up to one day playing the leading role. Like some people are very, not lucky, because obviously a lot of hard work's involved, but some people's journeys are very different. They come out of drama school and they go straight into lead roles and that's the path that they're on.
Yeah.
But I don't think the fact that that's not happening for you should put you off going for it.
No,
because
for
like,
sure.
You want to be able to grow, right? Like sometimes if you go in at the top, like where do you go from there?
Yeah.
And then it might feel like a bit more of like a struggle to climb up. Whereas I think auditioning for the featured dancer role like shouldn't be looked down upon.
No, not at all.
Isn't that weird that like I think this about cruise ships, and I've never done a cruise ship, but from what I've heard and the content I've seen is that the singers get like the big cabins on their own,
yeah,
and then the dancers get these tiny cabins with no windows and they have to share.
Yeah,
I don't get that.
That's true.
Make it make sense.
Yeah,
like the skill levels are both, I'd say, equal in their own rights.
Yeah. I don't think, they shouldn't look down on the, like, featured dancer or whatever, because I, like, similarly started very much as the, like, cover. My first, like, job was a, what was I, featured vocalist / dancer, and now I'm, like worked on my way up. And I think at each point in my career, looking back now, was the right thing for me then.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, it might not feel like it's coming to you and you're not the lead like straight away, but when it is your time and it's the right thing for you, it will be there and it will come to you. I feel like you don't want to jump in the deep end and then ruin your experience of something because you weren't ready for it yet. So there's no like harm in working up to something.
If you think back to like Frozen, for example, imagine if like how different your experience would be or how different your journey would be now if you, because you covered Elsa, right? Imagine if you had been cast as Elsa, like no thank you
I wouldn't have been ready. I just simply couldn't have done that.
But like at the time, if you were given that opportunity, you'd be like yes.
Yeah,
but now looking back, it's like, oh my God, I would like,
no, yeah, no, I was far too young and like I wasn't ready as a performer. And at the time, you just think you can kind of do anything and you want to just be seen for everything. But when you look back in hindsight, it's like, no, I did the exact right thing at that time. Like being a cover was, even that was like pushing myself a bit, you know, like this huge 3,000 seat theatre was, and it was my first West End job. Like all of that was the big accomplishment. It didn't need to be the lead.
Yeah.
You know, it was like building slowly.
Yeah. It's weird because like when I auditioned for Legally, I was like, yes, I want to play Elle Woods. And like now I'm like, oh my God, the thought of like actually like playing the part and then doing it every night, it's just so different. Yeah. And it's so, it's kind of scary. Like obviously covering comes with its own difficulties and challenges, but like I feel lucky now that like I get to do it.
Me too.
Once a week.
Yeah.
And like I still get to experience that, but I have different pressures and different like, I don't know.
And it always just feels like the right thing for you at that time in your timeline.
It is. And no matter like how you feel at the time, like obviously I did an episode a couple of weeks ago where I spoke about my pros and cons of like being an alternate and like what that entails. And what I think is interesting is that the alternate job in Six and the alternate job I'm doing now are so different.
Really?
Yeah, just in terms of like the Swaltz at Six are like very different to being a swing or an alternate, I think, in any other show.
Yeah.
Because this, you're a swing, but you're swinging lead parts, which quite often swings are covering ensemble.
Ensemble, yeah. It's similar with Titanic in that all of the parts I covered were pretty much like a principal in some way. Yeah. So I would not be able to swing in the same sense that like an ensemble swings a dance number.
Yeah.
Sorry.
They've said at the end, I feel like deep down I have the talent to keep doing theatre, but all the rejection makes me worried. I'm not talented enough. Rejection is redirection. And you know who taught me that? Sophia Tuxford. Me and Caitlin bonded in Six over our love for the Girls Bathroom podcast. And we love Sophia and Chinzia.
I do. I just look up to them. I think they're so chic.
They're so cool. And you went to their live show, didn't you?
I did. At Albert Hall.
Royal Albert Hall. Mm. No, was it Christmas?
It wasn't Christmas. It was like last summer.
Yeah. And then like I got the Christmas socks and the Christmas jumper and stuff. And, like,
I love them. But just, yes, that is her like
But that's her. Like, she always says rejection is redirection. I'm like, yeah, correct. It is. And the rejection is character building. And as much as like it can feel like such a big deal and such an like not awful thing, but it can feel like such a knock to your confidence at the time, like it is just making space for something bigger and better and something that's more right for you in that moment. And, you know, I think back to like auditions I did where I didn't get the job and I was gutted at the time about the rejection. Yeah. And I look back now, I think, oh my God, imagine if I got that.
Yeah.
Or imagine if I got that at that point and not now.
Something else,
like,
yeah.
When I auditioned for Six the first time round, if I'd have got that then, my whole trajectory of my career would be different.
Yeah.
And I wouldn't want it any other way.
Yeah,
so you
exactly.
kind of just have to, like, think of it. And it's hard. Like,
it's hard when you're in the trenches to be able to look out. But I feel like now having both of us, like, done a good enough little journey in the start of our career, you can look back and be like, it was all worth it. And it all worked out exactly how I want it to have.
Yeah.
But I do think that, comes with age they should go for it. I do think that...
Shall we go for it?
because as much as teaching might be like fulfilling or, you know, the right thing that it feels like right now, if you don't do it, there'll just always be that little bit in the back that's like, oh, I wish I tried or I wish I gave it a good shot. So I think maybe like give a timeline of when you're going to really commit to doing it and just like give it your all. and yeah. see what sticks.
You need to scratch the itch.
Yeah.
You need to scratch the itch a little bit. See if it sticks.
And if not, come to the UK. I have so many Aussie huns that have done theatre in Australia and come yeah. here and thrive. So like maybe yeah. maybe it's a big move.
Maybe start applying for that visa.
Maybe get yourself to London.
Yeah, and you can teach me how to do a good Australian accent.
Because she needs it. Hannah's hotline. Oh my God.
Can you hear it? Shall we go for it?
Hello.
Hi guys. What's the best way to build chemistry with the scene partner that you've only just met?
Ooh.
What kind of chemistry? Should I put it down?
No, yeah, you can put it down, sorry.
No, hold on. chemistry.
Well, I think that's hard. If it's someone you've only just met, I'm thinking about...
But it can be different types because yeah. if, say, we didn't know each other and we'd yeah. never met and we were trying to play best friends,
yeah,
that's like still chemistry.
Well, I do feel like with six, you because you were standing in,
yeah.
you were kind of thrown in at
tough.
The deep end.
That was
yeah,
tough.
You were thrown in. We all rehearsed together. Well, I mean, we kind of knew you. Some people had mutuals with you, but we didn't really know you. We didn't get that chance to like.
To be honest, I don't think I'd ever met any. Because I think that was when we first met. I don't think I'd yeah. met you before. So I think it was the first time I properly met any of you.
Yeah.
And we didn't rehearse until the day of my first show. And I do remember saying to my friends after, be like, how was it? How was it? And I was like, it was actually fine, but it was just so weird being best friends on stage with people that I've literally never spoke to.
Yeah.
Like not actually
yeah, the motion
had a conversation yet.
Is the script.
Yeah. Like that's all that
yeah,
we had yet.
I think a show like that is definitely hard, isn't it? Especially when it's so based on riffing off each other yeah. and like having bad.
And we're like
your
in
friends.
Each other's faces and I'm like, we've yeah. never met.
Yeah, that is crazy. That yeah. must have been really hard for you.
It was rough.
Because
it was
like,
hard, yeah.
Yeah, because we had all kind of bonded in a way yeah. in rehearsals and obviously like different friendships and different groups form, but
yeah, when you come in completely fresh as well to it,
yeah,
you just have to take everything as it comes
yeah.
and it was like very quickly was fine
yeah,
but
yeah,
I do
yeah.
remember at first being like, gosh, I don't know anyone. Just don't actually know anyone here. But again, like I think because I was so comfy with the show, that made it easier for
yeah.
me to like be able to try and bounce off of
yeah.
what you guys had already built.
And I guess if you compare that to how you'd previously done the job, like by the end of the tour,
yeah.
you probably were like
yeah,
bestie
like
sisters
best.
With all of, you know, the rest of that company.
Yeah.
So it must have felt so different, like coming into
yeah.
a completely new company.
And especially when you do a completely different version, as in it's the exact same script, but what you build as a cast is so varying and
yeah.
like some even just the way that someone says one line can change the feel of like a whole
mm-hmm.
scene or you know so I was kind of like experiencing it all in real time like on stage
yeah.
and figuring out like what your Kay Howard is like or
yeah.
what your because I hadn't ever seen it so
yeah
it was kind of just like an on stage
really
like
I guess you just have to like live in the moment
yeah.
don't you and just like work with what you've got in the moment
yeah.
I was thinking also it's like when you're in an audition and there's someone sat there like reading in for
yeah,
the lines
that's
and
hard
you're trying to have kind of chemistry but they're kind of not giving you anything because they're just reading the script and
yeah.
you're having to like
I find that
chemistry.
Really hard.
So like, yeah, that is difficult.
Especially if they are stubborn on like, I'm going to give you nothing.
Yeah.
And I have to be like, and they've literally been like,
please
what
just
do you, yeah,
stand
like
up.
Nothing.
Like,
yeah.
just please just
and
stand
if they're
next
sat
to me.
Down and you know, you're trying to like pretend that you're walking through the park, but they're sat down. It's like, do I look at them or
yeah.
do I pretend that they're next to me?
I
like,
know.
I do hate that.
But like tips, I guess, I would just say, like, try and live in the moment. I know
yeah.
that's really cringe, but, like, just try and live in the moment. Like, work with what you've got.
Yeah.
And you're not going to know that person, like, at their core often. And, you know, like, in some shows, scene partners hate each other. Do you know what I mean? Like,
facts.
They know each other really well, but you could go and watch a show. I don't know.
And there could be beef.
Imagine watching Lion King. Nala and Simba actually hate each other in real life. This is just an example for legal reasons. Imagine in real life they hate each other
yeah.
and they're having to show this chemistry on stage
yeah.
and they're having to fall in love. Like things like that happen a lot. So like just try and take yourself out of the personal side of things. Try and just really like channel the character and think what would this character feel about that character and
yeah.
kind of remove the person from it to start with and then gradually start like
yeah.
building the relationship in real life.
And I think like draw on your own feelings and like experiences if it is like you're trying to pretend to be best friends with someone like think about how you and your bestie actually would talk and
yeah.
how you would sit and how you would and all of that will like slowly translate to for an audience to come across as like a very genuine interaction.
Yeah. I hope that was helpful.
Maybe a little bit.
Take it. Thank you so much for joining me. I've had a lovely old little catch up with my pal.
Little yap,
yap. Six, hit us up if you ever need anyone.
Seems like we're just waiting for something to
come
through.
We're waiting for a call, like Broadway, here we come. Yeah. Can you imagine, both of us?
I think maybe you. I think
Anyway, you can catch Caitlin in High School Musical in Manchester, in London, and beyond, or is that?
Don't know. Who knows?
And Broadway, let's put it out there. All the details for that will be in the show notes. Make sure to like, comment, subscribe, and follow us wherever you get your podcasts. And I'll see you in the next episode. Bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and I have discovered a fun new escape from the daily grind, Chumba Casino. Chumba Casino has hundreds of social casino-style games and it's all free to play anytime, anywhere with daily bonuses. So get to chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.